Well, good morning, everyone. Now, there once was a man whose name was Horatio Spafford. And he's a lawyer, and he was a wealthy businessman. And he invested in a lot of real estate buildings. But however, he lost all of these buildings in a fire in Chicago in 1871. This is known as the Great Chicago Fire. So imagine from the perspective of this businessman, he spent a lot of money buying all these real estates, buying all these buildings, only to lose it all in a fire. But things get a lot worse. In that same year, in 1871, his four-year-old son passed away due to scarlet fever. But things also even get worse 2 years later. In 1873, his wife and three daughters decided to go on vacation to England. So they were taking a boat to cross the sea to England, but all of a sudden, this boat began to sink because it was struck by an iron sailing vessel. So it killed 226 people on that boat. All three of Spafford's daughters passed away and drowned. Only his wife had survived. And when she got to shore, she sent a telegram to him saying, "Saved alone." So you can tell from this man's life, Horatio Spafford, how can someone like him, who have went through so many tragedies in his life, lost a lot of money from investments, lost pretty much all of his children in a lot of tragedies, we can think of like, how can someone like him be able to ever find peace in his heart? Because this also affects his relationship with God. Now, at the same time, when we reflect upon our lives, we may think, oh, there's a lot of bad circumstances that happen in our life as well, whether they're tragedies or whether it's just times of suffering in our life. And we may also wonder, is it possible for us to be able to have peace in our hearts? And we think, it's kind of hard. It's hard to find peace in our hearts, this tranquility, this the sign of contentment inside of you when there's a lot of things externally that seem to affect that. Whether it's your suffering, whether it is hard times in your life. But what if I were to say that it's possible? It is possible for us to be able to receive peace from God. And as we look in today's passage, we'll be able to learn what is this peace of God about and how we can be able to obtain this peace of God. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out and turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be focusing from verses 2 to 9. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pews in front of you, or you can look along with your neighbor. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. Again, I want to remind everyone that we are in the middle of a sermon series through the book of Philippians that is called Joyful Life in Christ. And as we will see, you know, today's topic is going to be talking about the peace of God. There is a relationship between peace and having joy in Christ. So this is in line with the whole theme of this sermon series in Philippians, the joyful life in Christ. So I hope you're here with me, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read from verses 2 to 9. Please follow along as I read. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippians. Verse 2. He says, "I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this Sunday that we can gather together to continue to worship you, to praise you. And just as always, we ask of you, we plead with you that you would show us who you are in your word. We pray that you would teach us, open our eyes, open our hearts, so we can see the wonderful things in your word. And in particular, teach us today about having peace from you. Lord, we know that in our lives, there's so many things that happen that will try to take away that peace. It makes it hard for us to have this peace. That makes us want to always be anxious and make us always want to be worried about something. Lord, I think many of us may find ourselves in this situation. And if that's the case, I pray that you would teach us. I pray that you would show us how we can have this peace that is from you. Father, we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So from this passage that we have just read, we're going to be answering three main questions. Okay, so if you'd like to take notes, I encourage you to write these questions down. So the first question that we're going to answer is, what is the peace of God? What is the peace of God? So if we want to be able to know what is this peace, you know, we need a good definition. We need a good understanding of peace. Then we're going to move on to our second question. And second question is, how can we receive the peace of God? So number two, how can we receive the peace of God? And then finally, we're going to answer our third question. What can result when we have the peace of God? So what can result when we have the peace of God? So again, those three questions. Number one, what is the peace of God? Number two, how can we receive the peace of God? And number three, what results when we have the peace of God? So let's start with the first question. What is the peace of God? Let's return back to our passage. Start with me from verse 2. Paul tells the Philippians, he says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. So in this part of the letter, the Apostle Paul wants to address something that he noticed in the church in Philippi. He noticed that the Philippians, they do not have peace among themselves. And the reason is that there was a disagreement between two women, Euodia and Syntyche, and he tells them to agree in the Lord. So it's apparent that they are disagreeing about something. So you have to keep this in mind. When the Apostle Paul writes a letter to any of the churches, when the churches receive the letter, what happens? The church would read this letter publicly to the whole congregation. So think about it this way. Well, how would you like it if one day I came up here and I started calling out some of you guys, and you're like, oh, this person sinned in this way, that person sinned in this way, and I made it known to the whole church. You really wouldn't like that. I mean, you would prefer if I went to talk with you about your sin privately so that you can make it right before the Lord. But here, Paul is essentially calling out these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, because of their disagreement before the whole church. But why does he have to do that? That's because it is already a public matter. No, it's possible that, in this passage, it doesn't say much about what this disagreement is between Euodia and Syntyche, but it might have started off in a private thing, but then escalated to the point where it is a public matter, where they argue to a point where the whole church knows about it. So when it has gotten to this point, this is why the Apostle Paul has to publicly call out on these two women and to let them know that they have this disagreement. And not only that, he gives them a solution. Look in verse 3. He says, yes, I ask you also, talking to the rest of the congregation, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So Euodia and Syntyche were having this disagreement, and because of this, there wasn't any peace among them. There wasn't any peace in the whole church. They weren't able to have that. And you guys also notice the meaning of their names. You know, Euodia, you know, this name essentially means a prosperous journey. And Syntyche, her name means pleasant acquaintance. So even then, they themselves, they didn't live up to the meaning of their names, because now it's just a public disagreement. So because there wasn't any peace in this church, this is why the Apostle Paul, he had to plead with the church members to say, I entreat these two women to agree in the Lord. And he asked them to help them to to be at peace with one another. But also, Paul talks about these two women and who they were. These two women, they've labored, verse 3, they've labored side by side with me in the gospel together. So these two women, they're faithful co-workers in the Lord. They preached the gospel. They went on missions trips. So this shows that even good, faithful, and strong Christians can be able to have disagreements, can be able to have sin, and come to a point where we do not have peace among ourselves and peace within our hearts. So I want you to think about you yourself. When are there times, when are there circumstances when you may not have peace in your heart? When are the circumstances when you always feel like you need to be anxious or worried about something? So maybe similar in this situation, maybe you have a disagreement with someone here in the church. Or maybe you find it hard to get a good job after graduating. Or maybe you have some financial troubles and you're working so hard to try to pay off the bills. Or maybe that you feel depression. You don't feel like you have a lot of friends or a lot of popularity. Maybe you can't live up to maybe the expectations of other people, maybe the expectation of your parents. No matter what these circumstances are, I think we can admit that even we as Christians, who can be faithful to God, faithful in serving in the church, we can experience times of unrest. We can experience like not having peace in our life. We can experience just always getting to this point of being worried or being very anxious. Now, today is actually Olive's first birthday, but I was thinking about, you should say happy birthday to her, even though she won't really understand you. But over a year ago, you know, when Olive was still in Joyce's womb, you know, we had to go to these doctor checkups. And there was one time where we went to a checkup and, you know, they have, you know, put this like gel on Joyce's belly and had like some sort of microphone that we put to her belly to be able to hear the heartbeat of Olive. And the doctor noticed that Olive started to have like an irregular heartbeat. So that was very concerning. So we went to a different room. They hooked Joyce up to, it was sort of like an EKG, but it was for like the baby inside the womb. Just to confirm it, they had like a timeline to be able to show whenever the heartbeat went up. So be able to tell just from the graph that she had an irregular heartbeat. So in this moment, so this is over a year ago, how can you imagine how Joyce and I would be feeling? Of course, we can feel very anxious. We can feel very worried about this. It can be so easy for us to not have peace within our hearts. But you see, we needed to trust in God about that. So this is one situation, one example of how Joyce and I could have an opportunity to not have peace within our hearts. So we all can agree that whether we are Christian or not, even the strongest of Christians, we can come to times where we find it hard to have peace in our hearts, where we just go to anxiousness and go to worry. But I want us to return back to this passage and think from the perspective of Paul and how he was thinking. You know, he was the one who helped plant this church in Philippi, and now all of a sudden there is a disagreement in the church, and he is about the spiritual lives of the people in the church. Now, Paul had every reason to not have peace in his heart. Paul had every reason to be very worried and very anxious. You know, there's this disagreement in the church, and not only that, where was he at the time of writing this letter? He was in prison. He was suffering in prison. He was over 800 miles away, and what? He can't do anything about the church, the situation in the church in Philippi. So Paul had every single reason for him to be worried, to be anxious, to not have peace in his heart. But even despite these bad circumstances, Paul did have peace in his heart. Paul specifically had the peace of God. So let's answer our first question. What is the peace of God? What is the peace of God? Here's the answer. The peace of God is a state of the heart that's given by God in which one is consistently satisfied in him despite any circumstances experienced in this world. That's kind of long. I'll say it one more time. The peace of God is a state of the heart that's given by in which one is consistently satisfied in him, despite any circumstances that's experienced in the world. Now, some of you may be saying, oh, I felt peace in my heart before. I felt a time where I've been restful and I felt very tranquil. I've had a time where I didn't feel very worried or anxious about anything. And if that's the case, that's great. But I want to ask, like, even if you do have these feelings of peace within you, on the other hand, some of us may find it that it happens very rarely, you know, because there's a lot that happens in our life that may affect that peace. And even if this feeling of peace isn't rare in our life, we may find that when we do have this peace doesn't really last very long in our life. So why is that case? You know, we'll have just this period of peace, but it's very short, and then all of a sudden we're back to being anxious, being worried, and not having this peace. But here's what I want to point out. Just because we may have peace doesn't necessarily mean that that peace is of God. Just because we have peace doesn't necessarily mean that that peace is from God. It actually may be peace that is of the world or from the world. So having the peace from God can last for a while, can last for a long time, whereas having peace that is from the world is temporary. So what is this difference between peace from the world and peace from God? If you go to John chapter 14, verse 27, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So here, Jesus talks about there is peace that comes from, and there's also peace that comes from the world. So what is the difference between peace from the world and peace from God? So first, we need to know that the peace from the world is circumstantial. So it's depending on what happens around you. So there may be peace between two countries after they have been in war. They decide to have a truce, decide to have a treaty, and they stop warring against each other. Or there may be peace between two people after they had a disagreement and they are reconciled with one another. Or you may experience peace in your heart after there is something good that happened to you in your life. But chances are that this type of peace is from the world. Why? Because it is very temporary. What if the two nations begin to war again after someone breaks the treaty? What if those two people, even though they've reconciled one another, decide to sin against one another again? What if, even though you've had something good happen to you and you feel peaceful, but then all of a sudden, bad things start happening again and you lose that peace? See, this is peace that is from the world, because peace from the world is circumstantial. Peace from the world can cause us to be anxious and worried again. If the peace that you have is based on your circumstances, then it is not peace that is of God. So then what is peace that is from God? Peace that is from God is not circumstantial. So this means that whether you have good or bad experiences, good or bad circumstances that's happening in your life, no matter what happens, you can be able to still have this peace in your heart. This peace that is from God means that you are satisfied in God. It means that you are satisfied in trusting in God, trusting that He is in control of everything, trusting that He knows everything, trusting that He has a good and perfect plan for you, and it doesn't matter what happens. So whether good circumstances happen, whether bad circumstances happen, it doesn't matter, because our peace from God is not dependent on those things. It is dependent on our trust in Him. Now, long ago, there was a man who wanted to find a picture of peace. And I mean, yes, when he's talking about a picture, he's looking like a painting, like something like that on the wall over here. And not finding one that satisfied him, he announced a contest to try to have artists produce a masterpiece to depict what peace will look like. And this challenge stirred the imaginations of many artists all around the world, and they began to paint. So they arrived from many different parts of the world to this competition to this day to reveal their paintings. So on this day, judges, they one by one uncovered painting after painting of a peaceful scene, you know, one after another. And the audience, they viewed it and they clapped for each painting. And then tensions grew because there came down to just two more paintings that to be revealed. So the judge revealed one painting, and a hush fell around over the crowd. It reflected this mirror smooth lake, and it had green birches under a soft blush of the evening sky, and along the grassy shore there was a flock of sheep that was grazing undisturbed. You know, people thought, oh, no, surely this must be a winner. Surely this must be a good picture of what peace looks like. But then a man uncovered the second painting himself. And when they saw it, they gasped. And they were like, how could this be peace? What did this painting show? It showed a tumultuous waterfall that's cascading down a rocky precipice. And like the crowd could almost feel the cold penetrating spray of the water. There were stormy gray clouds up in the sky that threatened to explode with lightning. There's wind and rain. But in the midst of this thundering storm, there was a tree that clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. And on one of the branches, there sat a small little bird perched on a nest. This little bird built this nest, and it was content. It was undisturbed in this stormy surroundings as she laid and rested on her eggs. So with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, it shows up a picture of peace that transcends earthly turmoil. You see, when we have the peace of God, we are like this bird that is on this branch in the midst of the waterfall, in the midst of the storm, because we should not be affected by the circumstances around us, whether good or whether bad. So the peace of the world directs our attention to our circumstances, whereas the peace of God directs our attention towards God himself. You see, this is why the Apostle Paul is able to have peace in his heart. This is why he's able to not be anxious or not be worried, even though that there was a disagreement in the church in Philippi, even though that he was suffering in prison 800 miles away and can't do anything to minister and try to settle the situation in the church, even though that there are people who are, their spiritual lives are at stake because of this disagreement in the church, Paul had peace of God in his heart because he trusted in God. He had this true peace. So again, question number one, what is the peace of God? And we said the peace of God is a state of the hearts that's given by God in which one is consistently satisfied in him despite any circumstances experienced in the world. So whenever you have a feeling of peace in your heart, you should stop and then ask yourself why. Why do you have this peace? Is this type of peace from God or is it from the world? Is this peace dependent on the circumstances, like the good things that are happening? Or is it dependent on your trust in God, even in the midst of the bad circumstances? Now, let's find, maybe on the other hand, you find yourself that it's very rare for you to even have peace at all in the first place. So maybe if you don't find yourself having peace at all a lot of times, then maybe you think about directing your attention to trust in God, rather than directing your attention towards the bad circumstances or to yourself on how you can handle those circumstances. So how can we do so? How can we come to a point where we can receive the peace that is from God? So now that we understand what the peace of God is, now we can be able to go and move on to our second question. So question number two, how can we receive peace of God? So how can we receive the peace of God? If you look back here in our passage in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 7, the Apostle Paul talks about the peace of God. So after talking about the disagreement that is in the church, We know that Paul has the peace in his heart because he talks about the peace that he has. Let's start from verse 6, actually. He says, this is a very verse for many of us, especially of those who have memorized it in the scripture memory competition. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul, if he's able to teach the Philippians about the peace of God, then it shows that he himself must have the peace of God in him first. So we know that he has the peace of God, even though there was bad situations happening in the church, even though that he was in prison. So verse 7, it says specifically, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Also, if you jump to the very end of, he also talks about the peace of God. And he says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. These two times that he mentions about the peace of God, he, if you read prior to the mention of the peace of God, he actually gives some conditions. He actually gives some attitudes that we should have in order for us to receive the peace of God. So we'll look at prior to verse 7 and also prior to verse 9 to see how can we be able to receive the peace of God. So we'll see that there are three actions that we can be able to take for that. So let me answer the second question. How can we receive the peace from God? Here's the answer. We can receive the peace of God as we pray righteously, think righteously, and live righteously. So again, how can we receive the peace of God? And the peace of God, we can receive it as we pray righteously, think righteously, and as we live righteously. So let's start with pray righteously. Again, back in verse 6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if we want to receive the peace of God, then we need to make prayer as a priority in our life. Now, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And he says, in whatever circumstances, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. And he just doesn't say, stop. He just doesn't say, don't do this. But rather, he said, instead of having this habit, do this habit instead. Instead of being anxious, what does he say? He says to pray. And what is it about prayer? It says, in everything, pray. So in any circumstances, whether good or bad, we should be communicating with God about it. We should be praying about it. And how should we pray? It says, pray with supplication. When we are making a supplication, it means that we are pleading and we are presenting a request before God. Maybe especially if something bad is happening in your life, your financial situation, your relationship with this person, you're not knowing about what the future is going to hold for you. Do you go to the Lord in prayer and ask him for help? Do you trust in him? And it also says, with thanksgiving. So as we pray, we should also be very thankful to God. So we know the past couple of days, this is Thanksgiving season, we are very thankful for what we have, but we should be in particular be thankful to God. And we shouldn't just be thankful even just during once a year during Thanksgiving. We should be thankful all the time, every single day of our lives. If we have this attitude of prayer as a priority in our life, in good and bad circumstances, if we are going to God with requests for trust and for help in him, if we're always thankful in him, then this is one way of how we can receive the peace that is of God. Peace that's not depending on our circumstances, but peace that is trusting in him. Maybe the reason why we don't have peace in the heart is because we don't have a prayer life. So this is why Paul says to pray in the Lord and then to have the peace of God. But what is this about the peace of God that guards us from? Verse 7 again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So this peace of God, once we have it, is like a guard. So it's a picture of like a Roman soldier standing next to you, protecting you, or even like guarding a prisoner. So you have this image of the peace of God, what is protecting your heart and also your mind. So through prayer, it is protecting our heart, but also it protects our mind as well, the way that we think. So this brings us to the second way. The second way of how we can receive the peace that's from God is to not only pray righteously, but to think righteously. Look at verse 8. Paul then tells the Philippians how they should think. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Think about these things. I think we have to agree that the way that we think affects the way that we live in this life. You know, Paul already used himself as an example for the Philippians to imitate him, you know, because he was living for Christ. That's why he tells them to think about these things. And actually, if you look at the New American Standard Bible, look in that version, it actually says to dwell upon these things. Or the New King James Version actually says to meditate upon these things. See, Satan, our enemy, tries to get us to think about other things that aren't listed here, that aren't good, things that are negative and that are harmful. Because like I said, the way that we think affects the way that we live. It affects how we relate to God. It affects how we relate to one another. It affects our marriages. It affects our parenting, our work life, our school life, our church life, and every single thing that we do. Right now, if you were to just stop and think, okay, what are you thinking about at this particular moment? You know, what our minds essentially go to and think about most is what is essentially almost like an idol in our hearts, because it shapes the way that we do things. You know, if we look at entertainment, if we look at our culture, there are messages that keep on telling us that, oh, we need to be number one. We need to be the best. We need to be able to climb up that corporate ladder. We need to make the most money. We need to, especially in the Asian culture, to please our parents, get the best grades. Or even if someone hurts you, you want to get revenge on them. We see these messages reflected in our entertainment, in our media, in our culture. No, this is the world telling us the way that we should think. And if we keep on thinking about these things, then of course, we're going to act in the same way as well. It's going to affect our marriages and affect our relationships and affect our relationship with God in particular. So whatever we think about has an effect on what we do. But what does Paul tell us specifically to think about? Verse 8, he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Meditate upon these things. Dwell upon these things. Maybe some of us, we probably need to spend more time meditating on God's word or thinking about matters, no matter what it is, that will help lead us to grow in our relationship with God. If something that we think about helps us to understand God more, help us to grow in our relationship with Him, or help us to grow in our relationship with other people, then, of course, think about those things. Don't think about the negative messages that the world tells us, or even what we tell ourselves, because this affects the way that we live and the way that we act. So how can we receive the peace that is from God if we are always thinking about these negative messages? Because when the bad circumstances happen, then what happens? Then we immediately think about, okay, how can I get revenge on that person? We immediately think about, oh, what can I do to be able to try to fix it? We're back to being anxious and being worried. But rather, if we think about what God says in His Word, if we think about, again, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, anything is worthy of praise, if we think about these things, then this will help us to be able to receive the peace that is from God. So far, we talked about praying righteously, and now we talked about thinking righteously, and then the third part is to live righteously. find this in verse 9. Paul says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." So let's talk about living. "And the God of peace will be with you." So again, before talking about having the God of peace be with you, he had to talk about prayer, he had to talk about thinking, and he had to talk about the way that we live. So Paul used himself as an example for the Philippians to imitate him because he was living for Christ. So throughout this whole sermon series, we've talked about how Paul was using himself as an example and encouraging the Philippians to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. So we see that in chapter 1, verse 27, to live a life worthy of the gospel. And then when we're in Philippians chapter 3, we're talking about how we should run the race and press on towards spiritual maturity, towards our relationship with Christ. And then last time in chapter 3, verse 20, we also talked about living as citizens of heaven. So there's this whole, we already talked about so much about the way that we live our life also shows whether we have the peace of God that's within us. So everything that we talked about throughout this sermon series, Paul summarizes here as an important part of having the peace of God. So again, to answer our second question, how can we receive the peace of God? So we said that we can receive the peace of God as we pray righteously, as we think righteously, and as we live righteously. So let's go back to the story of, over a year ago when Joyce and I had discovered that Olive had an irregular heartbeat. So again, we can easily fall into anxiousness and worry and just wonder, oh, what should we be able to do and not have this peace in our hearts? But instead, like Joyce and I remember just one night we come together before God and we just prayed. And we just said, God, we trust that you're in control of everything. Of course, we would like there to be no heart complications for Olive. We like to raise a healthy child. But even if she isn't going to be healthy in this case, we trust that you're in control. So we prayed together. And why we're able to do that? Like, we need to have this right mindset, this right thinking. You know, this is the type of response that we have only because of what God says in his word. If we listen to the message of the world, you know, of course we would, you know, try to be succumbed to worry and anxiousness. You know, some people will even see abortion as an option. So the way that we pray, the way that we think, and then also the way that we live, the action that we took, affected of whether we had this peace of God in our hearts. So this is an example of how we responded in this bad circumstance and how we are able to receive the peace that is from God. So now we understand what is the peace of God, and now we understand how we can receive this peace from God. Then this brings us to our third question then. Then what can result when we have the peace of God? What can result when we have the peace of God? So would you look at me here in chapter 4, verse 4. Paul then says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. So to answer our third question, what can result when we have the peace of God? When we have the peace of God, we can rejoice in the Lord at all times and in all circumstances. When we have the peace of God, we can rejoice in the Lord at all times and in all circumstances. So the Apostle Paul told the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord, and this is right after telling them about, you know, this disagreement, this situation in the church between Euodia and Syntyche, you know, and how they didn't have peace in their church. So when we read like verse 4, we think, oh, Paul's just changing the subject. No, he isn't just changing the subject. He is making a connection. He's making a relationship. Even though there is this bad circumstance in the church between these two women, because of this disagreement, they should rejoice in the Lord always. And why was Paul able to rejoice? Because he has the peace of God within his heart. So there is a relationship between having the peace of God and also rejoicing. And rejoicing is so important that Paul talks about it twice. He repeats it twice in the same verse. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, again, I will say, rejoice.
And when we talk about rejoicing, it's not merely about being happy or this feeling of happiness. Yeah, we can always have this feeling of happiness in many different things, but he specifically says to rejoice in the Lord. What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? To rejoice in the Lord isn't necessarily meaning that we should be happy all the times, even in the bad circumstances. It means that we are to be content and joyful with that trust in God. That is that true joy. And this act of rejoicing is consistent with the whole theme in the book of Philippians, here in this letter, to have a joyful life in Christ. So Joyce and I, we rejoiced after we found out that Olive had no heart complications. We had to take her to see a specialist who they were able to find out that, yeah, even though that there's this irregular heartbeat that she had, it wasn't unusual, and it's something that was going to pass. So we had the assurance from the doctors that there wasn't going to be any issues with her heart. So we rejoice, we praise God for that. But I know I'm saying this like after the fact it happened, but what if there was a complication? What if Olive was going to be born, and what if she might not live that long, or what if we may have to raise a child with a disability? Will we still be able to have the peace of God? Will we still be able to rejoice? And I hope so. I know I'm saying this after the fact, but I would trust and hope that even if Olive was born with heart complications, that Joyce and I would still rejoice in the Lord, that we would still trust in God, that we would still be able to see how can God be glorified even in this harsh situation. So let me ask all of you, do you rejoice in the Lord? In that matter, like, do you rejoice in the Lord always? Think about reasons to be able to rejoice and praise God for in your life. And even in the bad circumstances in your life, we can still find reasons to rejoice in God. Even in the bad circumstances, ask, okay, how can God be glorified even in this situation? See, this is what it means to rejoice in the Lord. This is what it means to be able to have the peace of God in your heart. So let's review everything that we've learned in this passage here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. Again, we answered three main questions, so let's review those. Question number one, we'd ask, what is the peace of God? And we said, the peace of God is a state of the heart that's given by God in which one is consistently satisfied in him despite any circumstances experienced in the world. Then we answer our second question, how can we receive the peace of God? So we said that we can receive the peace of God as we pray righteously, as we think righteously, and as we live righteously. And finally, question number three, as we just said, what can result when we have the peace of God? So when we have the peace of God, we can rejoice in the Lord at all times and in all circumstances. Now remember, at the beginning of the sermon, I talked about this man named Horatio Spafford. And remember the tragedies that he had went through? This man, he had lost all of his investments in Chicago after it was lost in a fire due to these real estate buildings that he had. Later that year, his four-year-old son had died from scarlet fever. And then later on, 2 years later, all four of his daughters had died on a ship on the way to England, and only his wife survived. And when she went to England, she was able to send a telegram to Spafford saying, saved alone. So what did this man do? So Spafford, he decided to join his wife in England. He took the same trip, went on a ship, and when the ship got to the point where his daughters had drowned, he wrote the following words here that we may find very familiar. It says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So as you may recognize, these are the words of the famous hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. So this is the origin of how this hymn came to be written. And it's my prayer that us today, we can be able to have the peace of God in the worst of all tragedies, even like how Horatio Spafford, who wrote this hymn, also had peace in his heart. We can be able to receive the peace that is of God and not of this world because we trust that God is an all-loving God. God is the one who protects us. God is the one who will be able to provide for us no matter what. Do we trust in God for this peace? And I believe that we should and we can. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we ask that you would give us your peace. I know that in this life, there is a lot that is going to happen. A lot that Satan can use to try to pull us away from our relationship with you. A lot that will happen that will make us doubt you. That will make us want to worry and always be anxious. But Lord, because we are in you, because we have a relationship with you, because we have been saved by you, it is possible for us to have this peace that is from you. Because after all, we were made at peace with you. We are reconciled in our relationship with you through Jesus' death on the cross. So now as a result, we can be able to have peace in any of these circumstances that happen in our life. Father, help us to turn to you no matter what. Help us not to listen to the message of the world and receive a temporary peace, but to receive a long, life-lasting peace as we trust in you, as we see that you're in control, as we know that you love us. And then we can be able to say, it is well with my soul. Father, we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name.